A universal picture. A scenic, tree-lined, craggy coast. The clear blue water breaks into white-crested waves that roll into beaches and ragged cliffs. A Jennings Lang presentation. A Malpaso Company production. An oceanside house sits at the very edge of one of the cliffs, obscured from view by trees. A man in his early 40s is standing on the decking and looking out across the choppy sea. Starring Clint Eastwood. The man, whose strong features make him ruggedly good-looking, heads up some steps and looks through a window into the house. A painting of himself, propped up on an easel, stares back through the glass. Play Misty for me. Later, he's in his black convertible when he switches on the radio. He winds his way through narrow streets and onto the highway that runs alongside the ocean. Co-starring Jessica Walter. Donna Mills. John Larch. The man's long but well-groomed hair is blown around by the ocean breeze. With Jack Ging, Irene Hervey, James McKeaton, Clarice Taylor, and Donald Siegel. Across the road and down towards the ocean. He crosses a bridge that spans the gorge between two cliffs. Composed and performed by Errol Garner. Original music by Dee Barton. Now inland, he speeds along a busier section of road, lined by fields and trees. The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face, sung by Roberta Flack. Screenplay by Joe Hines and Dean Reisner. Story by Joe Hines. Darkness has fallen by the time the man pulls up in a car park and goes inside the studio of the radio station he's been listening to.
Hey, you digging the Master Jock of Solid Rock? Sweet Al Monte, blasting babies being pulled and pouring coal on station KRML in quaint little Carmel by the sea. And we're right next door to magnificent Monterey, home of the annual jazz festival. And don't forget, even though it's 4 months away, you got to get your tickets, Jim, because they're going fast and it can't last. All right now, the time is 7:54 and there's a breeze of 50 degrees around your ever-loving hips. And the weatherman says we have a taste of fog. I say we got a bowl of soul, and if you think your heart can take it, woo, come fly higher with the heavy. Now we're going to wrap it up for the week, folks. A brand new release from the funk capital of the world. Squeeze me. Uh-oh, here he comes, the big D himself, Dave Garvin. Dave, people, is going to bring you 5 hours of mellow groove. So in the meantime, this is Sweet Al Monte saying, hang in there, babies, because everything is going to be everything. Bye. Hey, what's that letter you got there? Is that that Frisco gig?
Yeah.
All right, so what's happening?
Oh, they want the usual thing, biography pictures.
Oh, really? Is that the Madge Brenner chick?
Yeah, she's the one putting it together.
Well, in that case, David, you're in.
How do you figure that?
Nah, David, come on, man. Are you kidding?
Hey, she's a grandmother.
Well, so when did that ever stop you? Woo-hoo!
Dave goes into the studio as Al finishes tidying up.
Hey, man, you better get a move on. I already played your thing.
Yeah, here it is. You're a real human being.
And you're on the air, baby. Right.
Dave sits down at the mic and starts reading from a book.
Men have destroyed the roads of wonder, and their cities squat like black toads. In the orchards of life, nothing is clean or real or as a girl, naked to love or be a man with. This is Dave Garver with a little verse, a little talk, and 5 hours of music to be very, very nice to each other by.
He picks up the studio phone.
Caramel, Dave Garver speaking.
Hello.
Hi, what'll it be?
Play Misty for me.
Misty, huh? We have that right on the player rack. Thanks for calling.
I see you got your little Misty chick calling you again.
Righty.
Swingo.
You take it easy now, huh?
See you in the AM.
KRML, Dave Garver.
Later, it's still dark when Dave pulls up outside a restaurant. He climbs out and heads inside. He walks into the bar and speaks with the bartender. The only other customer is a young woman sitting on her own on the other side of the room.
Hi, Murphy.
Oh, hi, Dad. No messages for you. Yeah. Heard your show tonight.
Yeah?
Well, it sure beats hell out of working for them.
Thanks for the plug.
What are friends for?
Bartender.
Coke? Come on right up. She's waiting for some.
You sure?
She says guy's been striking out all night.
One game?
Crab asked you?
What else?
Okay, coach. You asked for it.
All night.
Ooh. Okay.
Dave carefully considers which of the different colored corks to move.
Oh.
Palfrey's Gambit.
Dirty rat. Are we playing Copenhagen rules?
Make it easy on yourself, Murph.
Murphy moves one of the corks on top of another.
Cry, bastard.
Sorry, no Bastion.
Damn it, it's...
It's too bad, Murphy. Too bad.
As they continue to play, the woman edges along the bar towards them.
Careful now.
Do it.
You're really careful. Hi. See it.
Oh, yeah? Cry bastard.
Fool's ploy, my man. Fool's ploy. You care to play the winner?
I'll just watch.
My name is Dave Garber.
Evelyn Draper.
Sit down, Evelyn Draper. Care for a drink?
Okay.
What'll it be?
Surprise me.
New driver?
Nice game. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What happened?
I won.
How? When?
When is that okay?
I ought to be mad.
But you're not.
Later, Evelyn's getting some ice out of her freezer.
Well, it certainly was nice of you to bring me home, Mr. Garber.
That's right.
I don't think I've been stood up on a date since the ninth grade back in Albany. Something wrong?
No, I keep getting the feeling I know you from someplace.
You do?
Yeah. Here, won't you let me do that?
Oh, no, that's all right, I've got it. Why don't you see if you can get the fire started?
Dave goes into the living room, unzips his jacket, and pulls aside the fire guard.
Oh, there are some matches right next to it.
He crouches down and lights one of the extra-long matches.
It's getting late. You sure I'm not keeping you up?
No, I rarely get to bed before 3 a.m. I didn't have a date tonight. I went there because you talk about it on your program sometimes. And I wanted to meet you. I listen to you all the time.
Well, I knew somebody was out there.
You're making fun of me.
No, I'm not. Say something else, huh?
Such as?
Play Misty for me.
Very good.
Sure, I'm not keeping you up.
Don't you like me?
You're a very nice girl.
But who needs nice girls?
Well, I like them. I'm kind of hung up on one.
And you don't want to complicate your life.
That's exactly right.
Neither do I. But that's no reason we shouldn't sleep together tonight if we feel like it.
She smiles, and they begin to kiss passionately. Later, they're naked as they fall onto the bed. She clings onto him tightly, their writhing bodies lit only by the moonlight. The next morning, the sun rises over the ocean, turning the sky a shade of deep orange. Dave's doing up his shirt buttons as he goes out to his car. Evelyn watches him from a window. She turns and looks away as he drives off. After he's gone, she rests her head on the wooden window frame. Al arrives at Dave's house. He places his hand on the breast of a bronze sculpture outside.
Solid silicone. Hi-ho, David, my man. How you been, baby? See, you got the joint cleaned up for once. The heavy digs it.
Care for a beer?
Oh, not really. I'd go for something more uplifting, but not a brew, David. Not a brew, my man.
Beer's all we've got. Hey, Al, you're going to have to ease on out. I got a heck of a lot of work to do today.
Yeah, but you don't understand, man. I've been sent over here to get you.
By who?
Ah, that old chick I go with. What's her name?
Carol?
Yeah, that's the one. Girl thinks you've been working too hard, man. She said we should get together and go out tonight and blast the town open a little taste.
Who's this we?
Me, you, her, and one of them hens that you can dig up. Man, there is a fantastic New Mexican place in Carmel called Supercino's. And the albondiga soup is not to be believed. It is a mind bender will destroy.
Yeah, I know the joint, but I don't have a date, and I got a lot to do, really.
Well, big deal, man. Get one. Well, if you have any problems getting one, I'll get one for you, as nice as I look.
It's too late, and besides, I got a lot of work to do.
Hey, man, but you gotta eat, David.
You know what? I'm gonna whip up something right here in my own kitchen.
You know, David, I'm really worried about your social
life. You know something? You're gonna make somebody a tremendous mother.
Too narrow in the pelvis.
I sure appreciate you dropping by, Al. I'll come by again sometime, anytime.
Never let it be said that sweet Al Monte can't take a hint.
Who's it?
Hi.
Why, hi there yourself.
Dave Garver live here?
Well, that depends on your point of view.
Oh, hi. Wow, this stuff weighs a ton. Where's the kitchen?
Right inside. Just come right on in and help yourself. Swing right around the bend there. I know, David. She's from Chicken Delight. But don't work too hard on it.
Al goes, and Dave follows Evelyn into the kitchen.
How come you don't have any beer? And what is this, a shrunken head? Who was that guy? Does he live here?
Hey, look, I
hope you like steak. I thought you looked like the steak in the potato salad.
Hey, hang on.
Said to myself, a nice green salad with roquefort and tomatoes. Baked potato with... Stop.
What's going on here?
Oh, don't send me away.
No, I want to ask you a question.
I just wanted to surprise you.
Surprise? What happens if he and I had been talking business? Or maybe I have female company or something, and you come traipsing in with an armload of groceries. That would be some surprise.
I'm sorry. Why don't you keep that stuff? I think I lost my appetite.
Hey, hang on a minute. I'm just trying to tell you something, that's all.
I don't understand. Should I go? Should I stay? What do you want?
I'm trying to tell you that there's a telephone, and I pick it up and I dial it. You answer, and I say, hey, what are you doing?
See, I'll be right over.
Fine. Next time, why don't we do it that way?
Okay. Any way you like. Next time. How do you like your steak?
Extremely rare.
That's just how I like mine. Extremely rare.
I'll get some wine.
Vino? Oh, Vino. All this in heaven, too. Wow. Terrific. This is going to be some dinner.
Hey, what happened to that discussion we had last time? You know, the deal about no strings and all that?
Well, there are no strings, but I never said anything about not coming back for seconds. Did I?
That's right, you didn't.
They kiss passionately. It's early the next morning when he sees her off.
Where will I see you?
I'll give you a call.
Dave, you're funny.
How's that?
If you want to keep playing these games, okay, but they're really not necessary anymore, not for me.
Hey! People trying to sleep here.
People trying to talk here.
How'd you like to tell it to the law?
How'd you like to go screw yourself?
Hey, take it easy. Guy's just trying to sleep, that's all.
You're right. It's a terrific morning. Why be selfish with it?
He watches her go, then takes a moment before heading back inside. The next day, he's on the road, cruising past some large oceanside homes. A young blonde woman is window shopping. Dave's now driving along the same street. He catches sight of the woman and, seemingly recognizing her, tries to find somewhere to park. He pulls up at the side of the road whilst keeping a close eye on where she's going. He gets out of the car and hurries to keep up with her. She walks through a quaint cobbled courtyard area and is walking by an alfresco cafe when he catches up with her.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah?
Oh, excuse me. I saw the sweater and I thought you were somebody else.
Oh, you must be David.
He tilts his head and looks at her over the top of his sunglasses. Now Dave's watching another blonde-haired woman as she uses a blowtorch to sculpt some metal.
Where have you been?
Oh, around. I was trying to join the revolt against the representational. Didn't quite make that, though. So now I'm just trying to play it cool. Quite making that either.
That time for a break?
Yeah.
Let's go.
She fixes the blowtorch onto its stand.
When'd you get in town?
Yesterday.
You weren't gonna call me?
Of course I was. I had to get settled first.
Well, you shouldn't lend your sweaters to Blabbermouth.
You've gotten thinner.
Oh, no. Well, so much for Sausalito.
Sausalito?
That's where I was staying, JJ's place.
JJ's place?
Oh, it's nothing much, really. It's just a little pied a terre, but it's handy to the fleet.
You told me you didn't know where she was.
So I lied. Pick at me.
Thanks a lot.
Listen, stud, it wasn't my idea. You should have caught her act. The whole Betty Davis through, finished, kaput scene. And at 3 a.m.
Come on, JJ. He's exaggerating.
Well, I'll check with Malcolm. Maybe I can get you the afternoon off.
What happened, pussycat?
He ran into Angelica. She told him I was back.
That bitch should be hung by the thumbs or something equally appropriate.
It's all set up. Let's go.
Oh, well, it's nothing personal, really. It's just that I happen to think she could be a first-rate artist if her damned hormones didn't keep getting in the way.
There's not much he can do about that.
He could kill himself.
JJ, why don't you go cruise some sailors, huh?
Oh, please, don't mention seafood.
Come on.
Dave and the woman go out and walk along the shop-lined street.
I really miss this place.
I missed you.
You'd do me a big favor if you didn't say things like that.
Why's that?
I don't know. Somehow it brings out the worst in me. Makes me want to say things like, how's that redhead?
What?
The redhead, the one who worked in the bookstore.
She went back to Berkeley or whatever.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, you always have that blonde from Santa Barbara to fall back on. If that's the phrase that I'm looking for, and I think it probably is.
What are we going to do? Go through a whole list? Is that it?
Who's got that kind of time? I just don't know if I'm up to it anymore.
Up to what?
Those nights sitting and waiting for you to finish your program and come by. Nights when it would start to get late and I'd start to think, oh, I wonder if he's run himself off a cliff, or maybe he's run into a blonde. There was a time when I started rooting for the accident, you know. I mean, if it was a choice between that and a blonde.
You don't know how secure you make me feel.
Oh, I didn't wish you anything too serious. Just a couple of months in traction.
You're all heart.
You know, the thing I hate the most in the whole world is a jealous female. And that's what I was getting to be. That's why I had to split. I was starting to be one of my most unfavorite people. I hated it. I know you did, too.
He lights her cigarette.
That still works anyway.
Too well sometimes.
What does that mean?
I mean, there's a little spot in the middle of each day just about your size.
Well, there's lots of girls my size if you're really looking.
I'm not. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
You mean you've given up girls?
Well, I haven't exactly been the monk of the month or anything like that, but I have been making an effort.
Boy, there must be real consternation among those gropies.
That's groupies, isn't it?
I don't know. Groupies, gropies.
You know, you've got to be fair. It hasn't just been my fault.
Listen, I know. They kept overpowering you.
You get a little bit of the blame, too, you know. You and that parade of roommates that keep moving in and out of your place.
Oh, I didn't realize they were such a trial to you.
Oh, what trial? I endured it. You and I sitting in front of the fireplace. And then some chick sitting there with a bathrobe on, eating fig Newtons. What about the one with the St. Bernard? She was a real winner. She took up enough space, and then that other one, the one that took the flute lesson.
Yeah, well, maybe it was a little rough on you, huh?
Now they're looking out over the ocean.
I can think of a thousand reasons why we should try again.
I've got about 7 billion things to do.
What do you think? You want to try for a new start right from the letter A?
What am I going to do with you?
A lot.
Just as they start to kiss.
Oh, hi. Excuse me. Hi. You've met Angelica, my...
roommate, yes.
I think I'll drive into Carmel and see if I can't find some cleaning solvent. There's plenty under the sink. Okay.
This house ought to have a revolving door.
Look, you know when my father left me this house, he left me payments. I can't handle that expense by myself, and most girls find the isolation is too much for them. It's a long way from town.
I know.
I better get back to work. Thanks.
That's it, thanks.
Four months in Sausalito is a long time. I am not gonna get back on that same old merry-go-round again.
What do I have to do? Give you a notarized statement?
I need a couple of more days to try and figure out where I'm at.
Okay, you get your bearings and then you'll give me a call, all right?
He kisses her on the lips, and she sighs wistfully. At the bar, Murphy answers the phone.
Hi, Murph.
Oh, hi, Dave. Sardine Factory. Dave Garver. So this is Evelyn?
No.
Sorry, you just missed him.
Evelyn's outside.
What do you mean?
He's gone. He's not here.
Well, I think you better look again.
Believe me, you just missed him. Now, if you're interested in someone a little more suave and sophisticated, I'll be happy to. That's what I get for being a dirty old man. There's a message for you, Madge. Somebody from San Francisco?
Brenner?
Yeah, that's it. Almonte gave her this number. Receive pictures and biography. Please send a tour or tape of your show as soon as possible.
Thanks, Murph.
Oh, don't mention. I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be your social secretary.
You will put that on my tab.
Dave heads outside. He slows and eventually comes to a stop when he realizes that Evelyn is reclined in the passenger seat of his car.
Surprise!
He climbs in.
What are you doing here?
It was funny. I was calling you from that phone booth over there, and he was telling me you'd left, and I was staring right at your car. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, kind of funny.
Why didn't you take my call?
What does it say that I gotta drop what I'm doing and answer the phone every time it rings?
Do you know your nostrils flare out into little wings when you're mad? That's kind of cute.
Come on, Evelyn, I gotta go.
I'd love a Coke.
Not tonight. I gotta get to the station.
No, you don't. Hey, you're talking to your number one fan. You don't work tonight.
I got this show that I'm trying to set, and it happens to be a very important show to me. That means I gotta pick the music, I gotta write the lead-ins, and I gotta find some poetry. Now, come on, will you?
Poetry? Let me help you. I'm terrific with poetry. I know all
Not
kinds
tonight.
By heart.
She snatches his keys out of the ignition, gets out of the car, and dangles them tauntingly.
Does he want his keys?
Come on, Evelyn.
Speak. Come on. Good boy. Let's hear it. Come on.
Come on, give me my keys. Come on, give me the keys.
Come on.
Give me the keys. God damn it.
Having some trouble, lady?
Get lost.
Yeah, get lost, assholes.
Yeah, let's split. He's got enough trouble already.
Yeah, excuse me.
He gives her a lingering look before turning away.
Bye. See you later.
He drives away, first reaching over and pressing a button to shut the passenger door. It's nighttime when he arrives home. He gets out and with a weary sigh heads for his front door. Suddenly, he stops when he sees something on the ground. He flicks on an outside light and picks up a large stuffed toy dog sitting in the porch. Attached to it is a note that reads, "Evelyn sent me to keep an eye on you, so behave yourself." Suddenly, Evelyn's on the drive.
Hi. Get all your work done?
What do you want, Evelyn?
One Coke?
I tell you, tonight I'm really whipped.
She takes off her overcoat, revealing that underneath she's naked. He covers her up and hurries her inside. He picks up the dog and brings it in. The next day, a seagull swoops and glides over the ocean. Evelyn opens the door and goes into Dave's bedroom. She sits on the edge of his bed. He's still asleep as she kisses him on the ear. He wakes and turns to look at her.
What time is it?
Time for me to go home. Go back to sleep. Hey, I've got an idea.
What's that?
Some night this week, after the show, corned beef and potato salad, dill pickles, the whole bit, my place. Deal?
I'll call you.
She picks up the stuffed dog and puts it on the bed next to him.
Thursday's good for me.
He rolls over and kisses the figure next to him, realizing with a start that it's the dog. He pushes it away and knocks it onto the floor. With a sigh, he slowly sits up and reaches for his trousers. He pulls them on and gets to his feet. He goes over to his record player, puts the needle in place, and turns a dial. As he passes a mirror, he realizes that a lipstick heart has been drawn onto it, with ED loves DG written inside. Later, he's in the studio.
And now from KRML, the big band sounds of D Button.
Hey, here's a fresh reel of tape for your air check. You want me to thread it up for you?
No, I'll leave it here. Thanks.
All right, I think I will go out and hit the streets, but before doing that, I will blow me a little number. Would you care to partake, my man? Would you care
to partake? Get in the other room, will you? It's zonk just breathing air around here.
All right, leave that way.
Al.
Sure.
You ever find yourself being completely smothered by somebody?
Anybody I know.
Yeah, you met her at my house the other day.
Oh, chicken delight. Well, that's what I call some pretty good smothering, cousin.
You start a relationship, thinking you're going to be completely honest, and all of a sudden the whole thing gets out of hand.
Yeah, well, what's the problem?
The problem is I've been trying to uncomplicate my life, and now I can't even answer the doorbell. Besides, Toby's back.
Oh, really, Toby? When?
I ran into her Sunday.
Oh, that was a goodie. Hey, I'll tell you the truth, David. I've always thought that Toby was one of the foxiest chicks on the peninsula. And why you gotta have so much action? I just don't understand it anyway, you know what I mean?
It's just a hang-up I have, or I had. But now that I seem to have that all straightened away, I can't seem to solve this other problem.
Well, you know what they always say, my man.
No, what?
He who lives by the sword shall die by the sword.
Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out of there.
Later.
We'll have more smooth sounds in just 1 minute. First, at 10 minutes to the hour, we're broadcasting from KRML in the Carmel Rancho Shopping Center, home of the Buccaneer, the man's boutique.
He answers the phone.
KRML, Dave Garver speaking.
The whole point in having an answering service is to call them once in a while and see if you've got any messages.
Hi, Evelyn. What's happening?
Well, what could be happening, darling? You're not here yet.
Yet?
I hope you like pastrami because they didn't have any corned beef.
Now, wait a minute. Just hold on.
Are you trying to tell me you forgot that we have a date tonight?
I thought I was supposed to call you on that.
It's just that I feel kind of silly sitting here in my brand new lounging pajamas. I just assumed. Apparently, I assumed wrong.
That's right. You assumed wrong.
You don't have to come over, Dave, if you've got something better to do.
No, that's all right. I'll be over in a little while. You and I are going to have a talk.
Whatever you say. In the meantime, haven't you forgotten something else?
What's that?
Weren't you going to play Misty for me?
Yeah, I have that one right here.
Thank you, darling.
He puts the phone down and stares at it with growing concern. Then he takes a record from the shelf and places it on the turntable.
And now we have a pretty one for lonely lovers on a cool, cool night. It's the great Errol Garner classic, Misty. And this one is especially for Evelyn.
Just a second!
Evelyn takes a tray of food and places it on a table in the living room. She then picks up a present and puts it with the food before leaning seductively against the mantelpiece.
Come in.
Dave comes in and she smiles at him.
Hi. Cold night, huh?
Yeah.
But you got here anyway. Stop for what?
Look, Evelyn, there's something we're going to have to get straight.
It's amazing what a man will go through for a hot pastrami sandwich.
Now, look.
Wait a minute. You haven't told me how nice I look.
Now, you look fine.
The lady at the store guaranteed you, Flip.
Now, listen, can we talk?
Wait. First.
She sits him down and picks up the present. She unwraps it and presents him with a white shoe.
Surprise. Don't you like them?
Yeah, they're great, but...
Don't spoil my fun, darling. I love to give you things. It's Madame Butterfly time. First, friendly neighborhood geisha. Remove honorable shoes.
Stop it. Now, we've got to talk.
Have I done something wrong?
I'm just trying to be straight with you, that's all.
Be nice to me instead.
Jesus Christ.
I don't understand. Are you trying to say you don't love me anymore?
I never told you that I loved you.
Not in words, maybe, but... Dave, there are lots of ways of saying things that have nothing to do with words.
I'm sorry you read it that way.
It's that other bitch, isn't it?
What are you talking about?
The picture in the silver frame in your dresser?
Look, that picture's got nothing to do with you.
What does have to do with me?
I never lied to you.
Big deal. He never lied to me. Well, what do you want for that? The Congressional Medal of Honor?
So long.
What am I supposed to do? Sit here all dressed up in my little horse suit waiting for my lord and master to call?
Nobody asked you to wait for anything.
You're not jumping me, Buster Blue Eyes.
Get off my back, Evelyn.
Get off your back. That's where you've been keeping me, isn't it? You're nothing! You're not even good in bed! I just felt sorry for you, that's all! Bastard! You poor, pathetic bastard!
As the dawn breaks, Dave speeds home. He walks through his bedroom and picks up the telephone.
Hello?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean those things I said.
Will I see you tomorrow?
You don't listen, do you?
Oh, let me come over. If I could just see you, just talk to you.
No, Evelyn.
But I love you, David. I love you.
She immediately starts redialing. Dave's taking his jacket off when the phone rings again.
David! If I could just...
He cuts off the connection and places the receiver back in its cradle. He sits up against the wall and lets out a heavy sigh. Another day, and Toby and Dave are relaxing outside.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Why?
No. Come on. You haven't heard one word I've been saying to you.
Yes, I have. I heard everything you said.
You did, huh? All right, tell me.
You don't believe me, huh?
Go ahead.
Okay, wise chick. We're supposed to go to a party at Big Sur tomorrow night, and I'm supposed to meet you there at 9. And the address is...
I didn't tell you that.
So here you are.
I don't know myself yet. I'll call you tomorrow about it, okay?
Okay. You call me tomorrow.
Hey, honey, we better go.
Oh, we're just getting to the best part.
Yeah, but I've got to pick Angelica up at 6 o'clock.
God, how the pain is setting in.
Come on, she's a very nice girl. Anyway... She's moving out tonight.
Now, that's about the best news I've heard in years.
And Madeline's moving in.
Madeline?
Oh. Evelyn's watching them from afar. Later, Dave's in bed when he's woken by the knocking. He gets out of bed and pulls on his trousers. He flicks on the light and goes through an indoor grotto-like area towards the front door.
What's going on?
Don't tell me it was asleep!
Well, what else at this hour of the morning?
Oh, huh? I'm surprised his conscience was that clear!
What do you want, Evelyn?
What do you want, Evelyn? What do you want? Do I have to want something? Can't I just come over? Or is it inconvenient? Could it be I've made a boo-boo? Could it be that someone has been sleeping in Papa Bear's bed? Come out, wherever you are! Oh, God, don't look at me that way, Dave.
I just don't know what to say to you.
I'm sorry I mistrusted you. I should have known you'd never do anything to spoil it.
To spoil what?
What we have between us.
We don't have a goddamn thing between us. Now, how many ways am I going to have to say this to you?
I don't care how many ways you say it. It's not true.
I'm going to have to de-convince you.
It's not true. Oh, it's not. What are you doing?
Get dressed to drive you home, that's what.
Oh, why are you playing these games? Why are you pretending you don't love me?
I don't even believe I'm hearing this.
But I love you!
You haven't got the vaguest idea what love is. We don't even know each other.
Wait a minute. You have to do that. I'm okay, I can drive home.
You sure?
Positive, I'm fine. Let me just wash my face, huh?
As she gets up and slowly heads out, Dave undoes his jacket. He pulls it off, then tosses it angrily onto the bed. He puts his hands in his pockets, then, hearing the noise from the bathroom, turns round. He paces round the shadowy grotto. He pauses for a moment, then makes his way across some stepping stones to the front door and shuts it. He moves towards the bathroom, staring at the door with a look of casual concern.
You ready?
He goes over to the door and knocks.
You okay? Evelyn? Evelyn!
He barges open the door and finds Evelyn sliding down the wall to the floor, her arms covered in blood.
Oh, no.
Sometime later.
How's she gonna be?
Well, I sutured the wounds. It wasn't quite as bad as it looked.
It couldn't have been.
You know, Dave, I'm supposed to turn a report in on this.
But you won't. You see, Toby's back, and I'd rather be the one to tell her and not have her read in the paper somewhere.
I didn't know that. I'll tell Maria we'll do the spaghetti number. Is somebody gonna be around here today?
Me, I'll be here.
I bombed her out pretty good. Better let her sleep it off before you take her home.
And how long will that be?
It's hard to say, why?
Well, I'd like to take Toby out tonight.
No problem. She'll wake up sometime this afternoon. 5 or so.
Is she gonna be all right?
Well, the cuts were really pretty superficial.
Well, I mean, do you think she'll try it again?
Chances are against it. But I'd watch her. I wouldn't leave her alone if she seems unusually depressed or insecure. Better get some sleep yourself. You look like hell. Call me if you need me.
Hey, thanks, Frank. I really appreciate it.
Evelyn drifts off to sleep. Later, Dave's carrying a tray of food through the house. He takes it into the bedroom and puts it at Evelyn's side.
How you feeling?
Okay. Fine.
Here.
Thank you.
Brought you a little soup.
Hey, it looks good. I don't know what to say. Frightens me thinking about it.
Well, don't think about it.
Oh, I don't mean me. I mean you. Girl commits suicide in this jockey's home. It's not very good publicity for a man in your position.
Get some rest. As soon as you feel better, I'll take you home.
Thank you, David.
I got your clothes hung up in the closet there.
Maybe you better answer the phone.
Yeah, I'll get it in the other room.
He goes out and answers the phone.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to check. We still on for tonight?
Yeah, I'm all dressed and ready to go. What time's the party?
Well, Madeline's already left, and she won't be back for a long time, and I was just thinking, would you be terribly disappointed if we didn't go to the party and just stayed here instead?
Oh, well, I think I can bear up under it.
Don't be too long.
That's me at the door.
David. Huh? The way I look at it, the hell with Sausalito.
Bye-bye.
With a worried expression, he turns towards the bedroom. He follows the sounds of the heavy breathing and finds Evelyn tossing and turning in her sleep.
Hey.
Evelyn?
Take it easy.
Oh, I had a dream. I was drowning in the ocean, and I called to you, but you just stood there, watching. Watching.
It was just a dream.
Oh, God, I'm so alone. Oh, hold me. Hold me, Dave, please. Please. Tighter. Tighter. Don't let me go. Don't let me go.
As he holds her, he stares up at the ceiling with a look of quiet desperation. Later, night has fallen. His expression's changed to one of grim determination. Evelyn's still sound asleep, her head resting on his chest. He looks down at her and begins to shift his body away. Slowly, he starts to sit up and tries to ease his arm out from under her. After successfully releasing himself, he carefully starts to edge away from the bed. He makes it out into the hall and starts dialing a number on the telephone. He freezes and slowly turns round.
I woke up and you were gone. If you have something planned for tonight, you could just take me home. Maybe that'd be best.
No, no, there's nothing.
Good.
She pulls him to the floor and rests her head on his shoulder.
Isn't this nice? Just us here, together.
The next morning, a woman carrying a feather duster finds Dave passed out on the sofa, surrounded by beer bottles.
Oh, here we go again. Stone cold, dead in the market. It's been quite a party.
Go away, Bertie.
Any other bodies, any other juice heads around here?
Come back tomorrow or next year.
I better check the workbench. All right, break it up in here. Looks like old times around this place.
Evelyn? Evelyn?
Lose something, Tiger?
Look, buddy, you couldn't find it within your heart to come back at a later time, could you?
This is a later time, pussycat. Paying you back for the day I blew last week. Evelyn! Evelyn!
Very funny, Bertie, very funny.
What I can't figure out is with all this kind of action going on in here, what are you doing out there couching it?
What is this, some kind of Kinsey report? Do I come over to your house and ask a lot of dumb questions?
Well, you just ought to, pussycat. Might open up a whole new way of life to you. Hold it. Let's try to show a little class, shall we? Mr. Garver's residence. Oh, I'll see. Do you want to talk to Madge Brenner?
Yeah, I want to talk to her. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Garver. Madge Brenner, we like the tape on your show. Like it very much. There are one or two others still in the running, but frankly, why can't we have lunch today? Windjammer's still good?
Yeah, still very good.
Reserve a table in your name. See you then, Mr. Garver.
Great. Bye-bye.
Looks like we found Evelyn. Good morning, darling. Gone shopping. Back in a flash with the hash. Ooh, a little humor in there. Love and kisses, Evelyn. And then it says, if you can't find your keys, don't worry. I borrowed your car.
Evelyn's at the key cutters.
Here's your key. Here's your copy. That'll be 40 cents, please.
She reaches into her handbag and pays the man.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Later, she uses the new key to open the front door of Dave's house. She pushes the door open a little, then takes the key over to some outside storage cupboards. She reaches above them and hides it. She picks up her bag of shopping and heads back inside.
David? I stopped by my place.
Hi.
Don't you look all gussied up? Well, good. I was going to cook brunch, but this calls for something more festive. How about the marquee? My treat.
No,
after all I put you through, it's the least...
I have a lunch date. Business.
Business?
Yeah, can I have my car keys?
Sure.
I think you ought to take it easy anyway. Get some rest, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel a little tired.
He sweeps by her and heads off, leaving her looking put out. Later, Dave's in Windjammers with Madge.
Very funny, Dave. Now, let's talk show. Tell me, what do you think of the concept? The unstructured, the loosey-goosey, Monterey pop, Woodstock kind of thing.
I like it. I like it very much, and I think I can handle it.
So do I. I'll keep this to promote your new career with. You'll be working with kids. Bright and marvelous. But they take handling. You know, if this show goes the way I think it's going to, there's no reason in the world why...
Well, isn't this cozy? So this is your business lunch? How's business?
Friend of yours?
Just another trick, honey.
That's enough.
Is that your idea of a dish? My God, she's a little old for you, isn't she? What is this, Be Kind to Senior Citizens Week?
Get out of here.
It's not that I mind you being a bastard, but do you have to be such a tasteless bastard? Stop it, you son of a bitch! She could get laid in a lumber camp! Stop it, you son of a bitch! You're hurting me! Stop it, you dirty bastard! Oh, no! Stop it! Oh, no! No, 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 no! Don't leave me! Don't leave me! She's nothing! 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 I love you.
Get her out of here, man.
Please.
Where to?
Because I love you. I did it because I love you. Don't you understand? I love you.
Where to, mister?
Move.
It's because I love you. Please.
The taxi takes Evelyn away. Dave buttons up his jacket and heads back towards the restaurant. He gets back to his table, but Madge has gone and has left his show tape behind. Later, Dave finds Toby reading on the beach.
This is a private beach.
I want to talk to you.
I don't want to talk to you.
He makes his way down the sandy slope and crouches down beside her.
Are you drunk?
No, but that's not a bad idea.
Why, David?
Why what, drunk?
No, why last night?
Well, that's what I came to explain to you.
Okay, good. But I think we should understand each other. I'm not very happy with you.
Well, that's fair enough, Toby.
Whatever it was, you could have called me.
No, I couldn't.
Why not?
I couldn't tell you the truth last night. I'm not gonna lie to you anymore.
Now, why'd you have to say that?
Later, they're walking through the forest.
And I just didn't want to take a chance she'd try it again.
What if she does?
Well, I swear to you, if she ever tries it, I'd just let her go right on ahead.
Evelyn's watching. Birdie finds Dave's home has been completely trashed. She tiptoes through the living room, trying to avoid stepping on Dave's belongings, which have been scattered across the floor. She stares around, her mouth open in disbelief. The statue in the grotto has had a bag of rubbish dumped on top of it. She follows the source of the noises through the house and into the bedroom. In the bedroom, she finds clothing strewn around the room and a black and white photograph of Toby that's been smashed. Pulling back a decorative screen, she finds Evelyn slashing at Dave's clothes with a knife. Evelyn spins round and hacks at Birdie, spraying blood onto the walls.
Please, somebody help me!
Birdie tries to fight her off, but Evelyn hits her with a barrage of blows.
Oh, God, help me!
Dave arrives back at his house to find a line of squad cars and an ambulance outside. He stops his car and pushes through a group of onlookers and a police officer.
Hey, Max, buddy. Hey, I live here, man.
He goes inside and finds Birdie being carried out by the paramedics.
Is she hustling the lady, Garber?
Okay, boys, let's take her out. Watch your step.
Gonna cost you double to clean up this mess.
Watch your step. Dave Garber?
Yeah.
I'm Sergeant McCallum. Any ideas?
About what?
Well, about your girlfriend in there.
Hey, that's not my girlfriend. Let me get that straight right in front.
Evelyn's in the bedroom, speaking with another detective. Dave looks around at his ransacked house.
More or less a casual acquaintance, you say?
That's right.
Just drop by to hack up your wardrobe and your cleaning lady. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I'm not trying to tell you anything, Sergeant.
Well, now maybe you ought to. A lady almost got herself killed. And I'm stumbling around in my stupid way trying to find out why.
What will you have?
This Evelyn Draper, where does she come from?
I don't know.
What about her family?
I don't know that either. She just listens to my radio show and we met one night, that's all.
Practically a stranger.
That's right.
And how does she happen to have a key to your front door?
I don't know that either.
It boils down to you don't know a hell of a lot, do you?
It boils down to is I'm getting kind of sick of your questions.
And so am I. But they get upset with me down at the store if I don't ask them. Take her through. I'll be right along.
Right. Take her through what?
Booking.
What she really needs is psychiatric help.
Really? Now, look, those cuts on her wrists.
Don't know anything about those.
Oh, there's one other thing.
I know. Don't leave town.
Well, I was going to say, why don't you play some Mantovani sometime?
Didn't know you liked the show, Sergeant.
I don't. I like Mantovani.
Sergeant McCallum heads off. Sometime later, Dave and Toby are walking along the deserted beach together as waves lap up onto the sand. Now they're in a forest, shaded from the sun by the tall trees around them. Later, they're in near darkness as she tenderly strokes his face.
Ever I kissed your mouth.
He turns to her and they begin to kiss tenderly.
I felt the earth. Trembling heart.
He rests his head on her shoulder and they embrace.
Of a captive bird that was there. At my command, my love.
Later, they're walking along a path through the forest.
And the first time.
Now they're in a naked embrace in a forest pool beneath a waterfall. Later, they're making love on the forest floor.
Would fill the earth and last till the end of time, my love, and it would last.
He holds her close and kisses her on the top of the head.
My love, the first time ever I saw.
They walk back towards the beach, silhouetted against the sun disappearing behind the horizon.
Your face. your face, your face, your face.
Still in silhouette, they stand on the rocks and kiss tenderly. The packed jazz festival is in full swing. Toby, Dave, Al and his female companion join the throng of people watching the concert. Toby plants a kiss on Dave's lips, and the two women head off. Dave and Al move forward down the aisle towards the stage. They find some seats and sit down. Sometime later, night has fallen, but the concert is still in full swing.
That was the Cannonball Adderley Group, and they're making it happen out at the Monterey Jazz Festival, along with Duke Ellington, Woody Herman, Joe Williams, and many others. Still got tickets for Sunday night, so get on out there, because that's where it's happening. Now we're going to hear from the Gator Creek organization and Feeling Fine.
He answers the phone.
Caramel, Dave Garber. Hello?
Play Misty for me. David. I didn't mean to shake you up, I'm sorry. Pretty stupid of me. I've been released. Therapy. It was a bad dream, but it's over.
Where are you?
The airport, San Francisco. I've only got a minute or two between planes. Got a job in Hawaii.
You're all right then, huh?
Fine, David, fine. I just want to say how sorry I am about everything.
Forget it, I have.
I hope so. Because this maiden she lived with no other thought than to love and be loved by you.
Are you near a radio?
No. But play it for me anyway.
Slowly, he replaces the handset and takes a moment before turning to his record collection. Now, back at Dave's flat, his turntable spins slowly in the shadows. He's fast asleep in bed. He begins to stir and his eyes flicker open. He looks up. To see Evelyn leering over him with a knife. She stabs down, but he moves his head and her knife slashes into the pillow. He rolls onto the floor and hits his head on the wall. Dazed, he turns on the light and looks round. He gets to his feet and cautiously begins to move through the dimly lit house. Dressed only in his underwear, he peers round a corner to check the living room, but finds it empty. He goes over to the open front door and closes it. Hearing the telephone, he moves back through the grotto and heads towards it.
Oh.
Garver?
Yeah?
Sergeant McCollum. Sorry to wake you, but something's come up.
Yeah, I know. She just paid me a visit with a butcher knife.
Why? Because she was released on parole pending further legal action.
When?
A week ago.
Well, I sure like the way you broke your ass to let me know about it.
I just found out about it myself.
Well, who's in charge down there anyway?
Now, look. You want to help find her, or would you rather just sit there and bellyache?
All right.
Now, exactly what did she say to you?
I told you. She said that she was well and that she was going to Hawaii.
What else?
I already told you.
Well, tell me again.
You know, Sergeant, you really make lousy conversation.
You make lousy coffee. Now, come on, what else did she say?
Nothing. Except... Except
what?
It was nothing. It was a line from a poem.
What poem?
If I knew that, I'd know the line, wouldn't I?
Well, try to remember.
You know, McCallum, it's getting late. You're sounding very monotonous.
Well, now, you know, you're not exactly my idea of a swinger date either.
Good night, McCallum.
Hey, what happened to the Madavani?
The what?
Well, I heard the show. But I never did hear you play that Madavani.
You really did listen to the show, huh?
Oh, friend, if we had a TV down at the station, I'd break by hour before I turned your show on.
Thanks a lot.
Hope we're lucky enough to grab her the next time she tries it.
Tries what?
Kill you.
Yeah, and if you're not lucky enough...
That'd be hell. The guys down at the station would have to chip in and buy a TV.
You're a great comfort, Sergeant.
You will change the locks, huh?
The sergeant heads off. The next day, Toby's walking through the forest towards the ocean. In dazzling sunlight, she walks towards Dave, who's sitting on a small peninsula.
Hi. Nothing like a nice brisk walk in the woods to put roses in a girl's cheeks. How are you?
Not so good, honey. She's back.
Oh.
Evelyn Draper, the girl who tried to kill Bertie.
How can she be back? I thought they put her in a state sanitarium.
They did, but they let her out.
But does that mean she's all right?
Theoretically.
What happens now?
I think you and I ought to stay away from each other for a couple days, just in case she's tagging after me.
She's already following you, isn't she?
I don't want you to worry about it. I can handle myself.
Yeah, so could Bertie.
She rests her head on his knee, and he strokes her hair. Later, Dave and the sergeant are in the studio.
All right, Dan, you stand by. Well, they're all set to trace the call. Now, when she phones, you just mention her by name right away, Evelyn. And they start to trace her. And all you gotta do after that is just keep her talking.
"15 minutes before the hour here at KRML, and here's It's Not Unusual."
"I guess it hasn't come to you yet, huh?"
"What?"
"What she said. Over the phone last night. Part of a poem or something. You told me you were going to try to remember."
"I thought I had that, but I've forgotten. Is it that important?"
"Until we pick her up, everything's important." "What's wrong?"
"I'm worried about my girlfriend with all this going on. They're so damn isolated down there. I'm thinking the best thing to do is just call Almonte and have him sub for me."
"Now look, the only chance we got is when she phones in here tonight. And you've got to be here, right on that mic."
"If she phones..."
"She will, believe me. But only if you're here. Now, I'll tell you what I'll do. If it'll make you feel any better. I'll go over and check your girlfriend's house myself, okay?"
"I'd sure appreciate that. Oh, she lives in the Highlands on Spindrift Road. I think it's the fourth or fifth house down. Williams is on the mailbox."
"Why don't you phone her? She ought to be expecting her."
"Callum. Thanks, huh?"
"Public servant."
Dave picks up the receiver and starts to dial.
"Hello?"
"Hi. Just checking in, you're right."
"Marvelous. I'm just getting ready to do my nails. And I got your program on. And Annabelle's in the kitchen making a couple of coffee grogs. What more could a girl ask for?"
"No, honey, really, everything's fine."
"There's a Sergeant McCallum who's gonna drop by for a second. Just to see if you're buttoned up all right. Let him in, but nobody else, okay?"
"Okay. Hey, David. You want to play something soft and dreamy for us?"
"You got it. Bye-bye."
"Bye, hon." "Hey, Annabelle. How's that stuff coming?"
"Something soft and sentimental for Toby and Annabelle."
Annabelle's Evelyn.
"Hope you like cinnamon in yours."
"Whatever's right."
Evelyn steps forward and puts down the tray of drinks.
Annabelle.
Looking thoughtful, Dave gets to his feet and goes over to the record collection. Evelyn's stirring her drink.
Good, huh?
Too much.
Evelyn turns to the painting of Dave.
So's this.
Thank you.
Just one thing, you might?
No, be my guest.
The eyes are wrong. David's are more, how shall I say, colder.
I didn't know you knew David.
Hmm?
I didn't realize you and David were... we're friends.
Friends?
Toby's seen the scars on Evelyn's wrist.
Oh. No, not friends. Not friends.
Evelyn picks up a pair of scissors and turns to Toby.
God, you're dumb.
She approaches, with the scissors raised. Dave's gone to another large stack of records. He takes a book off the shelf and brings it over to a table. He switches on the desk lamp and begins to flick through the pages. He finds some pages of poetry and begins to read from one. A line stands out. That a maiden there lived whom you may know by the name of Annabel Lee.
Because this maiden she lived with no other thought than to love and be loved by you.
A look of terror crosses Dave's face. He strides back into the studio and dials a number on the telephone.
Toby?
We're waiting for you, David.
He picks up a reel of tape and attaches it to a player. He pulls the end of the tape around the machine and winds it onto the other reel. He presses play, then leaves.
This is Dave Garver with a little verse, a little talk, and 5 hours of music to be very, very close to each other.
Evelyn stabs Dave's painting through the eyes with a pair of scissors and drags the blade down through the canvas, slashing it repeatedly. As she continues to slash the painting, Dave speeds along the oceanside road. With the canvas now almost completely shredded, she folds up the scissors and crawls across the floor towards Toby, who's been tied up and gagged.
I might put your eye out.
She rests the scissors under Toby's nose.
I'll bet David loves your eyes.
She lifts up a tuft of Toby's hair with the scissors and then strokes it back down.
And your hair. Does he run his fingers through your hair?
She cuts off a small length of Toby's hair.
Have to get you all nice for David. For David.
She takes several more cuts. Her teeth become more and more clenched with each snip.
I hope hope he likes what he sees when he walks in here. Because that's what he's taking to hell with him.
Behind a row of trees, some car headlights shine through the nighttime gloom. Sergeant McCallum winds his car down the drive towards Toby's house. He brings the car to a halt and picks up a torch before climbing out. He clicks on the torch and shines it towards the house. He heads for a small wooden gate and goes through it. He edges towards the darkened house, lighting his way with the torch.
Miss Williams?
Not hearing a reply, his expression becomes more concerned. Moving through the shadows, he comes to an open doorway and shines his torch inside. Slowly, he steps towards the doorway. Evelyn appears from the doorway and stabs McCallum in the chest with the scissors. As blood oozes from his wound, he collapses on the ground. Dave overtakes another vehicle and drives at top speed along the road. He screeches down a single-track road and then down the winding drive of Toby's house. He comes to a halt next to the sergeant's car. He climbs out and follows McCallum's route into the house. As he approaches the door, he suddenly stops in his tracks.
McCallum?
He stares down at McCallum's body, then crouches down next to it. Slowly he gets to his feet and begins to move forward into the house. He peers into the living room, where everything appears to be normal. As he goes further into the room, he notices the slashed painting that's been left on the floor. As he steps forward, he crunches a broken light bulb underfoot. He tries to flick on a table lamp, but it's broken. He passes the radio, still playing his show, and goes through into the next room. Turning to his left, he sees Toby tied up on the bed. He moves towards the bed and rolls her over. She starts to come to, and her eyes open woozily. Evelyn attacks Dave from behind, slashing at his back. As he recovers, she hides in the bathroom. She jumps out and attacks him again, hacking repeatedly with her knife. She runs off. A bloody wound on Dave's leg makes it difficult for him to get up. He staggers awkwardly back through the living room. He rounds the corner and passes the French doors towards the second bedroom. Evelyn jumps out from another doorway. As they grapple, Dave tries to grab the knife, but the blade cuts his hand. They spin round, and he manages to release himself enough to punch her in the face. She's sent flying back through the French windows and over the balcony. She tumbles down the rocky cliff face and lands in the water below. Dave steps out on the balcony and looks down at the ocean. He goes back inside and limps through the living room and towards the bedroom. He appears back at the doorway with his arm around Toby.
And now here's a pretty one for lonely lovers on a cool, cool night. It's the great Errol Garner classic, Misty. And this one is especially for Evelyn.
They help each other out of the house as Evelyn's body floats on the ocean's surface.
Thriller tomorrow night, Jane Fonda's terrorised by a murderous prowler with an Oscar-winning performance alongside Donald Sutherland. Clute here on BBC One Scotland at 4:15 midnight.